Over the last few weeks, we've covered things that are on the person that is simple and being a simple-minded person. And we're going to finish that today. We're going to share a lot of Scripture, but it'll go in repetition. I'm just going to show you some Scriptures today of the things that are important. But before we start that, there was a couple of areas that we touched on before, and I want you to go with me to the book of Proverbs. In chapter 1, and just remind ourselves, of course, we know Solomon wrote this, and many writers will tell you that the book of Proverbs was a book as Solomon's, if you study history at all, that, and whether I know it's specifically true or not, but that Solomon, as his kids would grow, he was giving them direction, and also to remember that Solomon was the man that people would travel for weeks just to hear him speak. Whether it was about horticulture, if you study Ecclesiastes and you see all the things that he did, and finally realizing that he's getting old and there's nothing new under the sun, the issue in Ecclesiastes, he continues to say, under the sun, under the sun, under the sun, when the whole time he should have been looking for the things of heaven. And so it's a book where it shows a lot of his bitterness, and he finally gets it. If you get to the book of Ecclesiastes, he finally gets it and gives glory to God and who he is. But if you ever study Ecclesiastes, that's a depressing book, because he's talking about all the things he's done and how it's vain and how it's worthless and how it's meaningless and all the things he put into it, because he's a man that is bitter and old now. And if you study that, it's a really interesting book. If you start off reading it, it'll depress you right at the beginning, because all those things he's accomplished. And Solomon was a man that people would travel from everywhere to hear him speak. I mean, it would be kings, it would educate people, and it wasn't just through the Word, it was through direction in life, it was how to plant a garden, it was whatever. And you can study great historians that would write about the kind of person that Solomon was. Well, of course, Solomon, we know, wrote the book of Proverbs, and a lot of people talk about it as it being great direction for your life. And as I grew up in the church, we were always taught to read one, whatever day it was, that's the chapter that you read that day in Proverbs. And you know what? I'm thankful for that, because a lot of times in life, I can remember a lot of Proverbs that are very healthy for my life. They're not bad things at all. But as far as it being directed towards our doctrine and our dispensation, you have to be very careful and make sure that it matches with the things that the Apostle Paul wrote. But when we started talking about the word simple and the man that is simple, there are some universal scriptures, I believe, that fit with both dispensations. Now, one thing we touched on in Proverbs chapter 1 in verse 7, it doesn't fit our dispensation at all in the area where he says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Well, we're not given a spirit of fear. What Christ has done has been taken care of, and the statutes that they had to follow are not the statutes that we had to follow for our salvation. But there are many commandments, there are many things that the Apostle Paul gives in the area that we are to walk in the Spirit, because if not, what happens, just like the second song that we sang, we become very prideful, we become very selfish people, and we become people that are not walking in the Spirit anymore. I believe it's an issue in our life that when we start our day off, it should be very important how we start our day, because if you're like me, by the time I get to work, I've got so many things on my mind, the last thing I've thought about is my walk. And I'm just being honest with you, because that's the kind of people we are. We become very disoriented people that can remain very simple. I believe if we're not moving forward, then we're always going to be moving backward. I don't believe there's a mediocrity there. I mean, it's not with me. I get something on my mind, a lot of times it consumes me to the fact that it affects my walk. Because it's just like years ago I would mention to people how it's amazing you can miss 1 week of church, how easy it can become to miss the next week. To the point to where it can become so habitual that the church, coming in contact with a body of believers that believe the way you do, that's healthy for us, then it becomes where it's not important at all. And if coming together as a fellowship and a body of believers can become that easy, it's got to be that easy towards the way you walk in your life, your ambassadorship for Christ. And so, the issue here in Proverbs in chapter 1, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is not our issue, but the issue with which we touched on verse 22 in the same chapter can fit very well with our walk today. And the Apostle Paul will even bring it out. And in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 22, here's a picture of wisdom being personified, asking the question, and it says, "How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and the fools hate knowledge." And it's a picture of progression. And what I was saying a while ago, I honestly believe, and the only reason I believe it is because I can look at my own life and I can see it. I'm usually progressing one way or the other. And I know you can look at me and see me from a year ago, you think about that way when my diet too. I can progress one way or another that way too. Just a little humor there. But anyway, I mean, there's progression is just one way or the other. And in this verse, the person that remains simple, that loves simplicity, that doesn't want to be responsible for anything else, is going to consistently digress to the point where they become that as a scorner or that as a fool because it's not important. And those are some things we touched on. Well, I want to touch on some other verses through the Word and show you this word simple and how it's used in different ways. In Psalms chapter 19, look at verse 7. Now, I'm not going to touch on all the verses. In Psalms 19, verse 7. The Word of God says, "The law of the Lord is perfect." Well, that's a truth. The law of the Lord was perfect, and Israel couldn't handle it, and neither could have we. Right? But the law of the Lord, what Christ said, and His law, He meant every one of them, didn't He? In fact, He fulfilled the law, didn't He? So there's a truth there, regardless of dispensation. But the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. That's exactly what it would have done for Israel, as they noticed. But not only that, in Romans, I believe it's chapter 3, that all the world knew that they were sinners by how? By recognizing the law of the Lord and that we couldn't do it. It was to show us that we were sinners. Just as it showed Israel, it let the whole world know, right? And so the law of the Lord is perfect. And it does convert the soul. Or it did, it would convert the soul. Then it says, "The testimony of the Lord is sure." Well, there's no doubt about that. If you know the Lord the way I know the Lord, His testimony is perfect. It's holy. He could fulfill the law, right? Now, it says, what's the last few words? "Making wise the simple." So, that's a plus, not to stay simple. It would be a plus if we recognize the law of the Lord and we recognize the testimony of the Lord and we understand that the fact that the Lord fulfilled the law, just as Israel recognized that they were sinners because of the law, we also. And so that's a true verse. But not only that, knowing these things does what? It makes the person who is simple wise. So do you think it's a plus in this verse to stay simple? Absolutely not. Psalms 119, verse 130. In Psalms 119, verse 130, the Word says, and it's my goal in us seeing these Scriptures, that the person that is simple absolutely needs to change. In the past, the person that was simple would be called out that they needed to change. But also, I want you to see in Scriptures, even today, that the person that is simple needs to change. There is a responsibility that you have as far as staying simple. In Psalms 119, verse 130, the Word of God says, "The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding to who? Unto the simple." So there's a way to not remain simple for the person that the psalmist was writing to, that whosoever would read it would understand that the words, God's words, gave light. It brought out something that you could see that would be fresh, that would be new. And it gave it understanding, okay, unto somebody that was simple. Okay? Now, go to Proverbs chapter 1 and look at verse 4. In Proverbs 1:4, the Word of God says, "To give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion." Well, if you read Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1, and you just go down, it's Solomon giving out this reason that he's writing these Proverbs, and it was to bring understanding and knowledge and direction for one's life on how to live, and how to live in a right way. And so it was to bring subtlety or discretion or discernment. That word discernment is used a lot in the grace, in a grace movement, I guess you would say. Because you have to discern that which is to you and that which is not to you. And Solomon wrote this word as direction. And he says, look, I'm writing it to give subtlety, to give discernment to the simple. Because the issue was not to stay simple. Not to love simplicity. And he says, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. And then we just read in Proverbs 1:22, where it says, "How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge?" And then you go to Proverbs chapter 7, and look at verse 7. Proverbs 7:7. In fact, just go to Proverbs 7, and let's start in verse 1. Interesting chapter. And Solomon says in verse 1, "My son, keep my words, and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye." You can see the issue with how they had to follow these statutes and remain faithful, and the issue of how they were to live. Okay? And verse 3 says, "Bind them up upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom," notice how it's personified, "say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words." Here's a picture that you can also recognize. The issue where somebody that is simple can be moved in another way and progress or degress, right? And recognize what it says. "For at the window of my house I looked through my casement." Now here's a picture of Solomon giving a picture of what he saw, and he's giving warning to the one that is simple, okay, that they better adhere to what he's saying and the direction that he's given. Okay? And notice what verse 7 says. "And beheld among the simple ones." Now he's given a picture of looking out of his casement, which is kind of like, I guess, it's, what do you call those things? Like, you have them in weddings and ceremonies. Those fences that you can see through, but they're...
Lattice.
Thank you. Lattice. There it is. And he says in verse 6, "For at the window of my house I looked through my casement and beheld among the simple ones. I discerned..." Now notice what he's doing, because he's got wisdom and knowledge. And we know what the Bible says about Solomon, how no one was wise before him. And he's discerning. He says, "And beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. So here's a picture a guy knows. He knows it's dark. It's evening. Where nobody can see. It's the issue. It's such a picture of the person who is digressing, who is simple, who doesn't want to be responsible for anything. And notice what has got his attention. It's because he's simple and he has no understanding. But notice what it goes on to say. It says, "Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me, this day have I paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, and carved works with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love. Until the morning, let us solace ourselves with loves. For the good man is not at home. He is gone a long journey." Here's one picture I've always learned in Proverbs. The lust of sexual sin is the one thing that we don't that you always learn not to go through as far as the temptation. You run from it. Because it will lure you. It's exactly what is used today in a lot of things to allure people. Look at commercials. Whatever you look at, sexual drive drives somebody. And the one that is simple is trapped. He's without wisdom. He doesn't even know what he's about into for the pleasure of ill-gotten gain. Tell you what, go to Proverbs 9:13 real quick. Now, I am not picking on the women here today, so don't poke your wives like, hey, this is not kidding. But, look at Proverbs 9:13. It doesn't say a woman. What kind of woman does it say? A foolish woman. Okay, here's one that has digressed. A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knoweth nothing. That's a true statement for one that is a fool, right? Look at Proverbs 14:15, just for the sake of time. Proverbs 14:15. The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. Is that not true today? I'm telling you, you can take a kid in school and come home because his teacher said something. He just believes it. You take a kid in third grade or fourth grade, the teacher's always right. You know, you ever hear, you ever say, well, my teacher said so. Any of y'all ever heard your kids say that? And the teacher's about as wrong. Savannah has a history class in college. And man, this dude is messed up. He is sharing what he thinks and not what he knows to be true. And I can take her to a book and or to anything else and look at history, but because he says it, it's right. You know, because he's the teacher. That doesn't always make it so. But even today, people today that are ignorant teach other people ignorant things. And the proverb fits perfectly. It says, the simple believeth every word. How many of y'all know because somebody says something, they just always believe it? Y'all know people like that? It just doesn't make it always true. If it's not through the word, which gives understanding, it cannot be true. This is why it's important for us to correct, to show reproof. You know, those things are important. Proverbs 14:18. Proverbs 14:18 says, the simple inherit what? Folly. You know what the simple person gets through life as he continues to grow and he doesn't want to be responsible for knowing anything or he wants to remain ignorant? He digresses to the point where you know what he inherits? Silliness. You know what he becomes? As Proverbs 1:22 says, how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicities? For scorners delight, right? And the fool hates knowledge. Do you see the progression downwards from a simple person? If you remain simple, then you'll become just like a scorner. And then you'll become that. You'll inherit silliness. Isn't that sad to grow through life to know what we need to get wisdom and understanding and to no responsibility and just to remain simple, that's a sad thing. Look at Proverbs 22:3. Proverbs 22:3. A prudent man foreseeth the evil. You know what a prudent man can do? He can listen to somebody speak. I'll tell you this. I can go back to my life and I can see the fact where as I grew up in church, whatever the preacher said would be true. But as I started not being simple anymore and realized that I gained knowledge through reading the Word and not just by what a teacher says, but actually following in the Scriptures, or when I got my knowledge, not by buying books, and because Max Lucado said this, it must be right. You know, and I started really discerning the Scriptures and rightly dividing the Scriptures. It was amazing how much knowledge I gained through doing that. But it says here, a prudent man foreseeth the evil. Today, we think a lot of people, when we think of evil, we think of people out in the world, as I've said many times. Let me tell you what's evil. Somebody that opens the book and shares it in an untruthful way. That's deception. That's exactly what Satan uses to deceive people. Is to get you to believe things in that word, okay, that is shared in the wrong way. That's more evil than anybody today out on the lake fishing. I'd much rather the person that's not interested or the person that doesn't know his word to be out in a boat fishing than to be out in a congregation sharing what the Word says in a wrong way. And a prudent man, I was saying earlier, I could now today, as I sit, whether it's here or anywhere else, I can tell within 3 to 4 minutes where a preacher is going to go by the Scripture that he shares. And that's something that I rejoice in, the fact that God has showed me how to rightly divide or to discern what the Scriptures mean. Because I could see also in my past how simple I was and how ignorant I was. And you know who you have to blame for being simple and ignorant? Yourself. You have nobody to blame you. It's a person that makes things more important than what the Word of God says. I have found when I make things more important than what God's Word says, I have found that is my own fault. And I found it's because I've put things in front of that. And therefore, it makes me simple-minded. I lose wisdom, I lose knowledge, I digress every time. And so there's a responsibility for that word that you're holding today. Coming to church on Sunday or on Wednesday is a great time to get together with brothers and find things that, well, maybe I didn't say that, or to learn, or to share with others, or to fellowship and to know that we're the body and to encourage each other and to lift each other up through our week. But it's not the area you come to just gain your wisdom and your knowledge. Your wisdom and knowledge comes through your daily life in being in that Word and not remaining simple. But it says here, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. And I think about that today in congregations all over the United States that proclaim the name of Jesus, okay, that use baptism as the way that they're saved. You know what happens? They just pass on and they die. I mean, that's the truth. There are many today that are not saved because of those issues. So these are proverbs that we can absolutely use as a truth for today, because it's direction. But I want you to look for the simplicity even in the Word today in the dispensation that we're in. Go to Romans chapter 16 and look what the Apostle Paul says in verse 18. Notice what it says about the one who remains simple. Romans 16 verse 18. First, I'm going to hit on two real quick. Starting verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. The sad thing today, most people can't mark them. You know why? Because they're simple. And they don't understand the very people which cause divisions and offenses. So they can't mark them at all. Okay? They don't know those who are contrary to the doctrine. Most people today cannot do that if they're simple. And notice what the Apostle Paul says here. Verse 17. Now I beseech you. He is wanting... I mean, that word beseech is a heavy, heavy word. It says, I beg you. Please take notice of this. Now he's at the end of his letter. Okay? And he says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them. I mean, not just stay away, or not just don't listen to them. He wants them marked. Because he knows this is an issue that's going on. It's people that share the Scripture in a wrong way. You remember when we studied Titus, the issue, the reason Paul wanted elders that believed the same faith was because there were those that were coming in that were as moral or as good as we could see with our eyes as anybody else. And they would share Scriptures in the wrong way. Or they would share in the way the next person that believed would fall from their faith and start following another faith that wasn't a gospel at all. And that's what Paul says. You better mark them. You better know who they are. You can't do it if you're simple. If we here just open our Word on Sunday and on Wednesday, you're going to miss it. And you're going to be deceived. Now it says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine. Not that have different personalities. Not that aren't fun to be with. Not that are boring or don't entertain. Not that because you don't like them because they're different than you. But the issue is about what? It's about the doctrine. It's about what was the most important thing. Okay? He says, which are contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned. And what's it say? You mark them. And you not only mark them, but you avoid them. I mean, to avoid somebody is kind of cold. But why? Because a person that is simple will soon become inherit folly. You know, become scornful. They will not help you in any way. Now notice what verse 18 says. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. And by, notice, they're not bad people. They can actually entertain you and move you. They can actually say things that you think, they're not people that are stupid. They're people that have not discerned or that are following the wrong gospel. That's not a gospel at all. And he says, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. It's a perfect picture for the pastor that can stand behind a pulpit today of a congregation. I call it a fraternity. I don't even call it a church anymore. But in many of the doctrines today that are hilarious to listen to. I'm telling you, I can go back in 23 years of being in ministry and think of the pastors or the people who have come in that have spoke to people and entertained people and made me laugh. And even though I was saved, they could make me feel like I wasn't saved anymore. I could find myself in the... I mean, it was amazing the ability they had to move me and to move others to the fact you couldn't wait when you left to come back the next night because of their speeches and their fair words and or the background of the groups that would come in that would sing that could actually... We're emotional people. They can be moved, and because it moved us, it must be right. This is the very thing that Paul says, look, if they're not right with their doctrine, you better mark them. You better avoid them. Because all they're doing is filling their own bellies. And notice what he says. And nobody comes and says, well, they're a bad person. I'm not going to listen to them. Or they're... You wouldn't go anyway. Right? Nobody feels...
a fraternity up or a club up because the guy isn't any good. That's where the churches come in groves and you see them lined up to buy a ticket or whatever to hear a guy that is doctrinally wrong. You wouldn't go see them if they didn't have fair speeches or they couldn't move you. Would you? I never would. I'd find a way to stay home. It was just amazing. And that's what Paul says, you better avoid them. But people get caught up in it. You know why? Because you're simple. The reason why is because you can be simple. And the way that we're simple is we're not in our Word. We're depending on somebody else to teach us. Or a book to say it. And we don't discern ourselves. Exactly what 2 Timothy 2:15 says. Study to show thyself approved. A workman. There's no reason why we should be ashamed when we study. You know, when I study and I hear Mark teach or Kevin teach and I'm sitting in here and it's something I studied before, it's awesome because I'm not ashamed knowing the truth. See, to not know the truth, it should make us ashamed to know that we ought to know it. To be simple is not a good thing. And in verse 19, same chapter, look what he says. For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad therefore on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good. And notice how he uses the word simple here. And simple concerning evil. I just think it's neat, the twist of words. Okay? The things that we don't need to be simple about are the things that we have a responsibility to, and things we better mark those, and we better be able to avoid those. And the only way we can do that is to not be simple in the Word. But what's He tell us to be simple to? To avoid those things that aren't of the Word. So I love the way He switches the wording around there. And the one who is not simple, the neat thing about the person, as you become a studier in the Word, and don't depend on man, but you can discern the Scriptures, the neat thing about it is the one who is not simple is the very one who can make the message of eternity simple for those who don't understand. Until you can defend the gospel, it's hard to make the gospel simple for somebody to understand. Does that make sense? If you are a simple person, you'll never make the message simple. But if you are not a simple person, you can make the message to the simple understandable. In closing, two scriptures. 2 Corinthians 1:12. Second Corinthians 1:12 says, "For our rejoicing is this." Now this is the Apostle Paul. He says, "For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience." That's deep. That's what you have in here and what you're thinking. Okay? That's what's important to you and the testimony of your conscience. That in, here's our word, where it was bad, what we read earlier, but look. That in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, those things that you need to mark and avoid, those who have flattered you with their words. He says, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world. The picture of, by the grace of God, we have our lifestyle, the way we live, our whole being of who we are in the world, and more abundantly to yours. Do you understand what he's saying here? Simplicity here is not bad because of what you know and not because of fleshly wisdom. And because of what you can share and your lifestyle, by not being a simple person, you can make the message itself simple. One more scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, look at verse 3. Love the way simplicity is used here. But I fear lest by any means
as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety. Now look, there's no doubt about it. The serpent was smart. He was crafty. He was smooth. And Eve was simple. And he deceived her because perfectly what we read in Romans 16, verse 17, 18, and 19, it's a perfect demonstration. And he says, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from what? The simplicity that is in Christ." You know how the message becomes simple? By the more that you know through the Word. That's how the message becomes simple. So there's nothing wrong with the message of Christ being simple. In fact, Christ did that for us. By the way, salvation, how simple can you get that man has made so hard? You know what? It's so simple that we're like, that's just not enough. There's got to be more. That's how I was raised. You know, even when I grew up that way, and I did whatever I was supposed to do, I always felt like, well, I wonder if it really took. Or I wonder if it... And I always felt like I had to do something else. And I made it so hard, and so simple. But now that I can read the Word, and I can understand, and I can discern it, and I understand that the Bible tells me to rightly divide the Word, and to understand the dispensation, the message has become so simple. So simple that today when you share it with other people, they'll get... It was Diane, you were talking this morning how you had an opportunity to share. But as soon as you take away, like, you know, it's amazing how people will agree with you with what you're talking about the Word of God and saved by grace. It's amazing how people agree with you until you take away the things that they've done. Take the cross off the church. That'll kill them. Take the baptism out. Or take away the tithe. It's amazing how people have just confused the message that is simple because they're simple. We miss the joy of living. That's what we miss. It's not enough to just hear a teacher teach. Just as sharing with the body of believers, it's not enough. You guys need to be in your Word. You need to ask questions. You need to study. We have good news to share for the hope of eternity for those that are lost. And a lot of those that are lost are in churches everywhere today. And if you remain simple, you'll never be able to defend that which is true. And those that are lost will never have an opportunity to hear the Word by anybody else but you, man, that you're around through the week. That's a sad thing. That shows the responsibility we have as ambassadors. An ambassador represents the good news of what Christ did. By the way, that's our commission. Our commission is not to go out into all the world as they're going to do, but our commission is to understand that we have a ministry of reconciliation. You got to make the message simple. The only way that you can do it is being in your Word. You can't do it just being here. You can't do it. It'll never happen. I'm living proof of it. I promise you.